There are many great Palestinian singers who sang about the occupation of our land, but none as famous as Abu Arab. To his death, he was considered one of the most poverty-stricken but most famous artists, and his voice will stay in our heads as the voice of Palestine.
Abu Arab is not only an artist, he is also a fighter with his art. He is the son of Palestine, and of course we remember him as a revolutionary poet. All of his life was given to his people, country, and Palestinian cause.
Abu Arab died in the refugee camp in Syria in March 2014, following a long battle with illnesses. Although Abu Arab was famous throughout the Arab states for his music and poetry, his friends claim the fact that he died in poverty in a refugee camp in Syria, rather than fulfilling his dream being buried in Palestine, highlights the serious issues faced by Palestinian refugees, for whom he devoted his work. Nell Burden for Reporters File, Occupied Ramallah.
In India, the world's largest secular democracy, the Muslim community, the second biggest after the Hindu population, suffers worsening socioeconomic conditions. The country has failed to provide equal citizenship opportunities to the Muslims. Shahana Butt reports on the community's impoverished education system.
Muslims in India are the second largest majority community after Hindus in the country, which accounts for almost 14 to 16% of the total population of 1.2 billion Indians. Despite promises of democratic constitution, the Muslims in the country are amongst the most unprivileged section of the society who hasn't been reaping the benefits of country's progress and growth.
It was only in 1982, for the first time, by the establishment of a Gopal Singh Committee report, which did a survey on, say, close to national level, you can say, in 22 states. And they came out with startling figures saying that Muslims are educationally and economically backward than other communities in the country. And since then, I think there were no concrete steps taken after that to improve or to remedy the situation.
The Muslims have the lowest literacy rate amongst all the communities in the country. There is a yawning gap between the national literacy rate of 74% and that of Muslims, 62%. Since the partition of Indian subcontinent, the country has managed only two Muslim universities that too haven't played any great role in the national policy making. Many say it's unfortunate on the part of Muslim universities that they haven't been able to do much of research and survey for the betterment of Muslim community.
As far as the last two decades or 25 years are concerned, the caste politics has become so strong in this country. Caste and religious politics has become so strong in this country that it has left no room for people who are intellectuals, who are highly literate. For them, it is very difficult to participate in politics anymore, because only those people can survive in politics who have money, who have power, muscle power, etc., etc. So those who are born and brought up in a different atmosphere in which I was born and brought up. So for people like us, it is very difficult to participate in politics.
Reporters filed toward one of the Muslim universities of the country, Jamia Millia Islamia, situated in the country's capital. Despite infrastructure and facilities in place, there is a kind of dissatisfaction amongst the students. Many of them complain that there are curbs on exercising the democratic rights inside the campus. And for years now, there hasn't been any students' union allowed in the largest Muslim university.
I think we are not given adequate space and space for political participation in universities. And as a result of that, the participation of Muslim community at the national level, at the state level, politics is dipping by every passing year and every passing elections. Primarily the reason for that is that we don't have spaces in universities where we can actually start doing politics.
However, the Vice Chancellor of Jamia Millia Islamia says participation of students in political activities distract them from the studies, but they make sure students get enough space to grow.
So as a university, we do not have the political participation, but we certainly have an intellectual and academic participation in the public policy spheres.
Prime Minister Manmohan Singh in 2005 appointed a committee to report the latest on social, economic and educational conditions of Muslims in India. The committee, known as Sachar Committee, revealed that the conditions of the Muslims in India is far worse than the scheduled caste and scheduled tribe, and there are only 2.5% Muslims in bureaucracy, while the overall percentage of Muslims in India is more than 15%. To ensure equality in opportunity, the committee made suggestions to uplift the conditions of Indian Muslims. However, decades down the line, the things haven't changed much. Analysts say if India wants to retain the title of largest secular democracy, it has to give equal opportunities to the citizens of all the communities. Otherwise, the growing divide will result into raging wars amongst its communities, and this will influence India's global image. For Reporters File, Shahana Bhatt in New Delhi.
5 years since an earthquake devastated the Italian town of L'Aquila and its surroundings, reconstruction is still at a very early stage. Local administrators have been involved in multiple scandals, including bribery and misuse of EU funds. Max Civilli has filed this report.
Spring had just begun in the medieval town of L'Aquila and the hill towns of the mountainous Abruzzo region east of Rome, when one night, in April 2009, locals awoke to a thunderous roar before the jolt that flung them from their beds. It was about 3:30 a.m. TVs flew, mirrors toppled, and homes and businesses cracked in two. A frightful magnitude 6.3 quake struck the area, taking the lives of more than 300 people and injuring as many as 1,500 residents.
It scared me to death. It was a devastating event, one we shall never forget.
C'è stata una prima scossa.
The night of April 6, 2009 was the most traumatic of my life. Everything was crumbling around us.
The earthquake left around 60,000 people homeless, causing damage estimated at more than 10 billion euros. Thousands of small businesses were forced to cease their activity. Disaster had struck them in the midst of Italy's worst recession since World War II.
Non vuole esagerare per noi.
The situation was already bad for us because of the economic crisis. After the quakes, our profits went down by about 70%. It's tough, very tough.
5 years have passed since the earthquake, but the historic center of L'Aquila is still a ghost town. Its squares and alleyways are deserted, while damaged medieval buildings are being propped up on steel supports. There have been building projects on the town's outskirts to house victims of the quake, but the reconstruction has barely begun in the town.
It's been 5 years since the quake, five strange years to say the least. Our town was practically militarized until not long ago. The civil protection had invaded our streets. They were everywhere. Today they are gone, and finally reconstruction has begun many years later.
Soon after the devastating quake in 2009, the European Union released about 500 million euros from its solidarity fund. The money was not aimed at rebuilding the city, but at fabricating temporary housing in L'Aquila and its surrounding municipalities. But last year, a European Parliament rapporteur found allegations that some 350 million euros went to contractors with direct and indirect links to organized crime, who used the funds for purposes different from what was originally intended.
Eurodeputato.
This member of the EU Parliament came here to L'Aquila twice, but he never personally spoke to me. His findings and allegations were later firmly rejected by the European Commission itself. However, Italian and international media barely talked about it.
Last January, members of the city of L'Aquila were accused of accepting bribes to award reconstruction contracts after the earthquake. Prosecutors suspect that several people took bribes worth about 500,000 euros in return for deals with construction companies. There are also allegations of false accounting worth another 1.3 million euros.
Immediately after the scandal erupted, the deputy mayor of L'Aquila resigned. Four members of his administration were put under house arrest. Another four are under investigation.
There is a smear media campaign in place aimed at discrediting our administration and how findings have been managed. Nobody is saying that our administration is saving on reconstruction. Why? They need to attack us to clear their conscience. When will the government authorize a 1 billion euro allocation for 2014? At this rate, the restoration effort will take 20 years.
There is also another crucial issue here. Most houses in L'Aquila and its surroundings had not been built according to anti-seismic specifications. We live in a highly quake-prone area, but unfortunately it is not in our culture to take precautions against natural risks.
Buildings are the main killers when earthquakes strike. Italy, a country with a long history of quakes, has existing regulations for protecting buildings against them and some of the best engineers and architects. However, laws are often ignored, and the problem is not one of technological know-how, but rather political in nature. The institutional response of the natural disaster turned into a big political failure, affecting, as always, the most vulnerable parts of the population. Max Civili for Reporters File, L'Aquila.
And that wraps up this segment of Reporters File. Thanks for watching us. Make sure to join us again right here on Press TV next week as well. Goodbye.